Hello and welcome everyone to today's Footmarks. Jared and I will talk about Ravindra Jadeja's batting on the road. So Jared, you've covered a lot of Jadeja's career, home and away, and especially against England and Australia. Would you say this is the best you've seen him bat?
Yes, I think it is. That's a good question. I'm trying to think of how much I would have seen him bat in Australia. When was the last time I did it? Did he play in 2014-15?
No.
No, so it's maybe I'm an expert on Jadeja batting in England because must have seen him bat in England an awful lot at this point.
Exactly.
I think this is just the best he's batted all the way through. It's a bit idiosyncratic, isn't it? It's a bit awkward and it's a bit limited and everything else. But he completely buys into the style of it, and it's working for him, so he's just going to keep going with it. So yeah, I think it's probably the best I've seen him bat in Test cricket at the moment, home or away.
Yeah, I think this is right up there for me, and definitely we have to account for the pitches as well, because a lot of players have scored a lot of runs and he's got good entry points, which is something we'll be talking about in more detail later on. But I think before we go dive deeper into Jadeja's test batting overseas in particular, and especially in England, we have to go and if you go on goodareas.co and go to the Patreon tab, you will see that those are our Patreon supporters and you can also become one. And you know, those are the people through which our company is, they support our company and all the work that we do. So, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think if you go there, you can go and join the Discord channel and you can talk to us. You can bring up your own ideas. You can suggest us maybe quick pick ideas and anything that you want, different sorts of content that we'll be creating. So I think, now we can dive deeper into this piece. And I think Jared, because I wrote this piece and of course, both of us wrote this piece and, you know, I was the one who initially wanted to do something on Jadeja, but I was not very clear, okay, what is it going to be about? But that, I think it was really that innings at Lord's that, you know, really prompted that we have to do a piece on Jadeja, because there was a lot of discourse on that innings in particular. And a lot of people were constantly comparing that innings with how Ben Stokes, Ben Stokes can do often in the fourth innings. We know about his Headingley knock. We know about his knock at the Lords in 2023 Ashes as well, right? So a lot of people were like, okay, why is Jadeja not hitting? Why is Jadeja not taking the game by the scruff of the neck? You were there at the ground. You covered this game. I think you can explain in a lot more depth what was going on actually.
It was just a really hard ground to score on. If you go back and have a look, it wasn't particularly easy to get wickets and it wasn't particularly easy to score runs, and it was getting harder, maybe not for both, but certainly to score runs as the game went on. England batted slow. England batted slow twice on that wicket, which I think tells you everything about it. So the idea that Jadeja is going to come out and play the Ben Stokes innings, it's completely different to Headingley, and you need to understand that. But I do think there is an element of something within the way that Ben Stokes and Jadeja play, probably because they're not batters, specialist batters, that they kind of find a method and they kind of spam that method, right, for a period of time, where they don't go through the gears the way that a normal batter would, right? Which actually helps them sometimes when the job is just simple, stay in for as long as possible and score a single off the fifth or the sixth ball, right? There's an element of that. You know, you can go back and look at the Stokes innings. But yeah, I don't think he could have scored much quicker there. I didn't expect him to. He takes one wrist, doesn't he? And he's almost caught it deep mid-wicket, I think.
Where Duckett was near the boundary, you know. And I think it was like a puff of air that, you know, just made sure that it went for a six off Wokes, I think.
Yeah, I was like kind of between the pitch and that area. Like I was on that wing. Oh. And when he hit it, I just thought he was going to be, I wasn't sure it was going to be caught, but I just thought it was going to hang and not go over the rope. And it just suddenly just seems to just float over and go past. Something we don't look at for cricket yet, but it's a big thing in baseball of like, you know, the trajectory of balls and what the wind does in different ballparks and everything. But I think after he played that shot, he was like, I don't know if I have this in me. And you know, you have a look at the rest of that game and I think it's fair. But also, I think it suited what Jadeja wants to do, which is he wants to get to the point in the innings when the ball is soft and then you can't get him out, right? Like that's what he wants to do and that's what he did in that innings. And if Siraj doesn't get the weird ball hitting the ground in that place and the backspin and, you know, the footmarks and the crevice, he probably steals that game, Jadeja. Right. And so we can't blame him because of the way he went about it. It just didn't quite go the way they wanted it to.
Yeah, completely agree. And you often mention the Lord's pitch and how it was tough to score runs on and tough to take wickets on as well at times. So when Varun and I, when we were doing the lives, we compared this to the Ranchi pitch of 2024. It was like the England equivalent of that wicket, you know, where Joe Root got runs there as well. That was also a bit of a, you know, tricky run chase for India there. And even in that match, you know, run scoring was not very easy. Even Baseball England was scoring slow back in Ranchi. Mm. And I think this game was also very similar. If you remember what Harry Brook did, like Harry Brook was trying to rattle everybody by hitting all those shots simply because it was so difficult to score on. And that opening spell which Siraj and Bumrah had bowled initially in that third innings, I think that really, you know, it was not an easy wicket to bat on. I think we have to make that very, very clear.
Yeah, I still don't know how Zach Crawley lasted as long as he did in either innings in that game. Like, yeah. I think I did a short video on it afterwards. I was like, it was one of the most bizarre innings you will ever see because he never looked like he was even able to hit the ball. Like, it really was a tricky wicket, but it was tricky to stay in on early and then it was tricky to score on later, which is it's a very different mix. And again, you know, it's one of the things of Jadeja. He's not really set up to be good early on. Right? Like if you were betting and you're betting on India, right? If the new ball is taken and Jadeja's at the crease, it's probably a good time to sell because he's not going to handle that ball very well. But between overs 25 and 80, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's really that 41 to 80 period, you know, when it's completely, you know, softball time. And I think Jadeja really comes into the game then. And we really saw the first of it, I think, was back when India played that one-off test, the fifth test, which was from that incomplete series of 2021, where India were in trouble and him and Rishabh Pant, you know, really got together and made a big partnership. And, you know, they really put India ahead in the game, I think. It was actually Baseball who chased brilliantly in the fourth innings that made them win the game. Otherwise, I really thought that partnership was really, really critical. Yeah. And he actually did come in a bit earlier than normal, I would say. He came in before the 30th over, if I remember correctly. And it's something we keep seeing that Jadeja has often found a way to score runs in England, even if he's sometimes come in a bit earlier compared to the other countries. But I think even then, if we look at that whole Baseball period, so who are the batters who have really stood out playing against the softer ball? One was Daryl Mitchell. He had an amazing series back in 2022. Then there was another series. Then I think even obviously Shubman Gill, he made loads of runs, 750 plus runs in this series. He has been brilliant. Or most of the English batters, Joe Root, it doesn't need to even be said what he has been doing all these years. And Baseball England against the softer ball, it has been even better for him. But what is it specifically about Jadeja, you know, that it's not that he's scoring very slow, right? Maybe he's scoring slow by Baseball rates, but what is it really in that 41 to 80 period that teams can get others out, but to a certain extent, but they cannot get Jadeja out at all. He's, I think, only gotten out twice in that entire period.
So just on that edge passing test you talked about as well, you're right, he comes in earlier, but remember that was the summer when the balls were going really soft, really early.
Yeah.
So my guess is, again, that the ball went soft. It's essentially, he has a method that probably makes sense coming from an Asian batter, right? Like, it kind of makes sense in that he's playing the ball very, very late. He's playing it under his eyes. He doesn't have any sort of extravagant movements or anything like that. He's essentially waiting for you to bowl the ball to him. He's not trying to make any movements or anything from that point of view. He can handle spin, so that's generally what you're going to face in that period, is you're going to face a little bit more spin. He's not worried about being dismissed by spin or has any sort of weaknesses there. But I think the big part of it is he plays with very soft hands. And so when he plays with those incredibly soft hands, even if he gets an edge, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make it through to the slips. And, you know, the player I compare him to in the piece is Chandrapal, right?
Yeah.
Because Chandrapal was the big one for that. If you go back, it was almost impossible to defeat Chandrapal once he was set because his hands would get softer and softer. And so you could get edges from him, but you couldn't bowl him and you couldn't get LBW. But the edges never carried. They never went anywhere. And if you look at Jadeja, he does that as well. But it's just a very simple method of, they have to get me out with a softball. If you look at the way he bats, that's the way he bats. And one of the reasons he doesn't make big hundreds is because he only has a 50-over period where he's effective. As we said before, once that second new ball comes, he's probably going to get out again. But he might be 60 or 70 by that time. And so those soft hands work perfectly. Whereas if the new ball's there and he gets a small edge, it's still going to carry, right? Yeah. It's still going to go through. And I don't think he plays lateral movement from seam bowlers particularly well. And I don't think he handles fast short bowling particularly well, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even
not that he's terrible. Yeah, I don't think he's terrible against either things, but it's not what he does well. And so between those two, it means you can, if the ball's hard, you can start bowling short at him, right?
Yeah.
And if you're bowling hard with if you're bowling short at him with a soft ball, I don't think his issues come in. It's when the ball's really steepling, when he gets his hands a little bit in his own way. And then with the new ball, as I said, with lateral, because of that sort of standing on his crease, not moving, his hands will follow the ball a little bit. Well, that's fine when it's soft and you can catch up with the ball, or you can get a soft edge to third slip and it rolls along the ground. When it's harder, you get those edges and they carry. So if you have a look at the Old Trafford one when he came in, he was dropped straight away. That's a hard ball. It flies through and he gets the edge. Those are the ones he struggles with. Whereas once that ball loses its tension, he's not going to make many mistakes. And so that's the Chandra ball thing of, you now have to dismiss him. And if he doesn't make mistakes, how is that going to happen? Something quite special has to happen to be able to get him out.
Yeah. And speaking of something special, I actually remember, you know, that 2021 WTC final where I think Wagner actually gets him out. If my memory serves me right, it must have been from a short ball. So when you say getting out versus the soft ball, you probably need that Wagner level of relentlessness to, yep, you know, really push Jadeja and get him out of the short ball. Because I don't think he has a pronounced short ball weakness, as you also mentioned. But it's something which you do see him be a little more uncomfortable against, especially if it's well-directed. Because I think otherwise, if you miss it a bit, he can still pull and hook. He can still play those shots. It's just he doesn't do it as much because he plays within himself in a sense. But I don't think it's that he can't play it at all. But
no, Wagner, but also, I think one of the issues is he doesn't want to play the pull and the hook shot all that much because that is a chance that the bowler could get him out.
Exactly. Right?
And so if you're going up against Wagner, you don't have a choice, right? Like, I'm not saying you have to pull and hook, but you have to play the short ball for an hour and a half. And so it's exactly. Wagner's a very different kind of challenge that you could see would cause an issue for Jadeja. But most bowlers, if Ben Stokes is going to bowl bouncers, it's probably going to be three or four overs, right? And I think we saw that at... I can't remember one of the games. I can't remember if it was Old Trafford or somewhere else. No, it wasn't Old Trafford. I think it was one of the early games where they tried that England. They tried to bowl short to him, but they couldn't do it for long enough, right? And so he's incredibly patient as a cricketer, if you think about him. He really is a patient player of like, no, this is what I do and I'm going to do it. I'm going to bowl the same delivery over and over again with only subtle variations. And we've all seen it. When it's not working for him, that can be his weakness. But when it is working for him, like with the soft ball, that's when he's at his best.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And, you know, he grew up playing his cricket in Rajkot. So I think, do you think there is an element of that? Because we know that he grew up scoring a lot of double hundreds and triple hundreds. That famous stat of him scoring 3 triple hundreds, I think that keeps on repeating over and over again. Like whenever he makes runs, people talk about how, okay, he was a talented batter. And Dhoni used to refer to him as Sir Jadeja. Often, like, as a bit of a joke, as you also mentioned that, you know, all-rounders are considered, that they have that Botham-Pringle continuum where when they are not yet developed, they are a bit of a joke. But then when they develop, you see what Jadeja has done in the last 7-8 years, 10 years, I would say, in fact, in Test match cricket now. For a decade, he has perhaps been the best, best cricketer in the world, in a sense that he is able to do it on both sides of the ball. And he is extremely good in India, but now he has worked out a way to score runs consistently overseas.
Yeah, I think, you know, he obviously has, something that probably someone like Imran Khan or Vettori didn't have, right?
Exactly.
Which is that he was an actual specialist batter when he was young. So maybe the player to compare him to is perhaps someone like Shane Watson, where they grew up as specialist batters, but they still couldn't develop the way that they should have, partly because they're still all-rounders, right? And there's an element of that. And it'd be fascinating to go back and have a look at those triple hundreds. And I don't think there's any footage there's not a lot of footage of them. But it would be fascinating to have a look at if it was just softball cricket and it was just what he was always good at, or if there was something else going on and he was batting slightly differently. But I think he's become more idiosyncratic and more all-rounder batter style in the last 7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
And so essentially he's done what great all-rounders quite often do, is they just find a method, right? Like if you compare him to like Garfield Sobers' bowling, Garfield Sobers' bowling is, he comes in as a left-arm finger spinner, he bowls a little bit of wrist spin, and then the team's like, we need some new ball bowling. And he's like, okay, so I'll do that. And he finds a method to be handy. He's not a proper seamer, right? Sobers isn't really as much use when the ball's not swinging or anything else. But in that little period, it's like they now have an extra new ball bowler available to them in every game because of Sobers. And that's the kind of batting that Jadeja gives you. So it'd be interesting to go back and have a look at those sort of innings when he was younger. But I wrote about him in 2016. So we're talking about a long time ago now. And I said, if you look at it, he just hasn't found a method to make runs, right? Like the way he bats doesn't really, and I think I was talking about him more as a white ball batter at that point, but he just hasn't found a method that works. Fast forward to now, T20 cricket, he blocks spin and then he slugs pace bowling at the end. And in test cricket, he's found another method of like, once the ball is soft, you can't get me out. And I can rotate the strike quite easily all the way through. And so that's all he's done is find these individual methods. I don't think he's a better batter now than he was when he was making those triple hundreds, but he's more reliable and more consistent. And so it makes it a real issue for you. He knows exactly what he's going to do in each innings. And that's a tough player to go up against.
Exactly. I think, and you don't often always see this with all-rounders, I think. If you just compare him with someone like a Ben Stokes, he probably has a much higher highs, but he will not be as reliable as, say, Jadeja in an average situation. I think at least in the last 2-3 years that from whatever we have seen, Ben Stokes can still pull off those great knocks, but he will not be as consistent. While Jadeja, he's one of the best starters in the game, and I think his starts, his medians, and those sorts of things we'll talk about in the next segment. I definitely think that just exploring his career has been very fascinating in this piece and his batting. And so I think on that note, we can take a short break here and we'll see you back in like half a minute or something. And so go nowhere and we'll be right back.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Hello and welcome, guys. We are back to the footmarks on Ravindra Jadeja's test batting. And so I think there's one really important moment in a sense, I think, in Indian cricket and how it has shaped up in the last 5 years. It was that 36 all-out test match where, you know, India lost, they were on top of that game. I'm sure you must have covered that game. And I watched it as a fan and I was really, you know, locked in and watching that game. And that 36-9 was like really disappointing for me. But you know what India did? They replaced Virat Kohli with Ravindra Jadeja in the next match. What do you have to just say about how bold a move that is? Especially because I think at that point, Jadeja's batting overseas is still not fully proven. Although there are a few knocks here and there, and we'll talk about those. But it's really, you know, replacing a player of Virat Kohli's stature with Ravindra Jadeja directly in the 11. I think it really showed that the Indian team was now, they were not really trusting him with the bat. And he repaid that. He scored runs at the MCG. He even got a red inker at the SCG. And he didn't just get soft runs at the MCG. MCG was also a bit of a, you know, I think not very easy to score on type wicket. And Rahane played a brilliant innings. And it was Jadeja and Rahane who formed a partnership, which, you know, really set up the test match for India, I think. So, any memories of you from that series, Jadeja's, whatever little batting he did, he was very impactful, I thought. But so, what did you think there?
Yeah, I think it just shows that, and you know, the series that followed even more so when he was batting, was he batting at number 5 in England in 2021?
He batted at 5 at the Oval Test, in the Oval Test.
That, I think that whole conversation about that, him coming in for Virat and then batting at 5, suggests that they then start thinking about him as someone who is a frontline batter. Now, they're probably wrong. He's probably not quite a frontline batter. He's probably just behind that. But on tours and things like that, when you're looking for flexibility, he's absolutely fine as a player on that level. And I think that's what we saw was their belief in him. And, you know, a lot of the, if you look back when he starts, he's batting at 8 and 9, right?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of it was at 8 and 9. You're right. And Ashwin used to bat higher than him. So I'll tell you how it goes. Ashwin used to bat at 6. Saha would bat at 7 and Jadeja would bat at 8. This was the combination for a lot of the overs, for a lot of the home tests that India used to play back in the day during the dominance era.
That now feels ridiculous, right? Exactly. You would never bat Jadeja behind Ashwin and Saha now. Like it's a ridiculous thing. And so that tells you, and you know, that's why you and I talk about this a lot in our work, of it takes all-rounders a while to develop, right? But also it takes people a while to believe in them. And I think that, you know, I think with Jadeja, you know, Shane Warne and other people were saying, like, and I think Shastri said this recently, didn't he? You might have put it in the piece about, like, if Jadeja had Stokes's belief, he'd be the best player in the world by a mile, right? Like, that's, he didn't have that belief, and it was really obvious at times watching him. And I remember talking to KK in 2016, and KK saying to me, you know, I don't understand why everyone talks up Ashwin when Jadeja has, similar stats. And, you know, and I said, well, the difference is that Jadeja keeps doing the same thing over and over again because he's terrified to ever change anything. Whereas Ashwin looks like a genius because he's willing to completely change everything he does. And if you're, when you're picking sides and you're making decisions and all that sort of stuff, you know, I remember the famous Nathan Horowitz one where, like, they're at the Oval and they went up to Nathan Horowitz and went, this is going to spin, mate. I hope you're ready to take some wickets. And Nathan Horowitz went, okay. And Australia went, what? Are you not ready to destroy on this wicket? And Nathan Horowitz was like, I don't know. I'm just going to play and bowl my best and see how we go. And that's a nonsense way of looking at cricket, the way that Australia did it. But it is how teams do stuff. They look at people and they're like, I remember when I was working with the team, there was a certain player who lost confidence. And I was like, this is the guy we should be picking. He's the right player for this. And they're like, nah, he's gone. And I went, what? What are you talking about? So when Jadeja becomes that person, they back him probably even more than he deserves to be because suddenly he does believe in his batting and they believe in it. So it's really interesting the way that these things sort of work.
Yeah, yeah, completely agree. And I think even for me, it was probably that, that 2020 series where I really thought that, okay, Jadeja can bat. You can trust him as a top seven batter. And he's been performing well since, you know, that 2016 to 2020 type period. But I think after a point, you really thought that, yes, if India can play both him and Ashwin, then that's also a really solid combination. And maybe like India didn't play Ashwin, right? In that 2021 series, they went with Shardul Thakur. So I think even in that sense, playing someone like a Jadeja made a lot of sense. And I think when they went to South Africa right after that, and that was the series where Jadeja was injured and Ashwin was back. So I think that is where India really felt, you know, the absence of Jadeja in a sense, I thought, because Ashwin's batting really declines after a point, I think. After 2016, 2017, he becomes like this guy who's hooking and pulling and cutting and doing everything. But he's only making 30 balls, that sort of innings. He's playing that. But with Jadeja, you know that he's going to stick in. He's going to, you know, he will probably bat more time than even your top order batters. And I think we really see this when one good metric I really liked was that he starts very well. So if we look at scores of above 20, so since that Oval 2018 test that we've been talking about, we talked about it a lot in our piece and we'll discuss it here as well. But what really happens is that since then, the only batter who starts better than him for India is Rishabh Pant. And even that might come as a surprise to some who think that, oh, Rishabh Pant is just a slogger. He doesn't follow our rules of test batting and all those sorts of things. But contrary to that belief, he is actually a very consistent player. And after him, it's Jadeja. And he's even better than the likes of Rahul. And, you know, of course, a lot of the older batters, they started declining by then. But he is ahead of all of them. He's ahead of Pujara, Kohli, Rahane, Rohit, Shubman Gill. You just name it. Even Yashasvi Jaiswal, of course. We've seen a very short career so far and we've seen what he can do. But the point is that he's a brilliant starter and he has a great median score. So he will give you like about 25 runs, 24 runs on median. And this is just outside India. I'm talking about tests in South Africa, England, New Zealand and Australia. I'm not even talking about the home games. So having an all-rounder like that, I think is really, really, really useful, right? Because at home, he essentially makes sure that India have 12 players. But away from home, maybe it's more like 11.5. Would you say that?
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it? Because his bowling is more of a holding bowler in some situations than anything else. What it gives you is, though, he probably still gives you the 12 players in that you can have, he can bat at 5 and he could probably bat at 8. I don't think he's ever going to bat at 8 again, but he could bat at 8 if they had to, which then allows them to go in with any sort of formation that they need from a game-by-game basis. And I think that kind of flexibility is incredible. And then on top of that, as I said before, it's these sorts of players, your secondary skill, and batting is his secondary skill, right?
Yeah.
You just need to be able to find a way to be effective enough so that you give that flexibility, right? So that's all he needs. It's a bit like Ben Stokes in the same way of Ben Stokes would obviously be greater if he could average 45 with the bat, right? And he was a regular player. But Ben Stokes is so useful in certain situations with the bat and with the ball that you can say he doesn't need the overall numbers because the flexibility that Ben Stokes allows England, when they go to Asia, to use him as the second or third seamer, right? And it's the same with Jadeja, in that you don't have to worry about your seamers being worked to death, although not at the last oval test, but in general, you don't have to worry about your seamers being worked to death because you could play him as a specialist batter if you have to on the road. Yep. You might not get hundreds, but you will get good consistent runs. And if you back your side to be able to take wickets around him, that sort of flexibility is probably still worth an extra player because of what you can do. But you're right, at home, you know, he's one of the greatest home players in the history of cricket. But he's really effective away from home as well.
Yeah. And so I think when I keep talking about that Oval 2018 test, I think it's important to understand that before that, India were not looking at Jadeja as, you know, a frontline player in the 11 whenever they would go on the road. So 2018 was the start of this whole team's, you know, that legacy season that they're going to go overseas and what are they going to do overseas. Lots of people were very curious about those things and everything. So in South Africa, India basically go with Hardik Pandya and Ravichandran Ashwin, right? And the same thing happens for the four tests in England as well. Finally, when they lose the series in England as well, they just go with Jadeja next. They bring in Jadeja. I think Ashwin and Hardik miss out. They bring in Jadeja and Vihari. So they probably go a tad defensive, you could say. But I think at that point, they probably didn't have much to lose. And they tried Jadeja, and Jadeja ends up making 86 in one innings. When India were in trouble, they were 150 odd for six. And they were, like, England had, I think, made about 300 runs in the first innings. That was Alastair Cook's last test match, by the way. And so after that, what happens is, he also takes 7 wickets in the test match. So I think, and right after that series, you know, he goes back home and he gets 100 against West Indies at Rajkot. Again, it's Rajkot. He's the Bradman, he's the Gary Sobers of Rajkot, man. I'm telling you. So I think this is that really important period where India, they don't fully go in on the idea of Ravindra Jadeja. No. Even in Australia, he plays a couple of test matches. He doesn't start there either, because I think they were still pretty high on Ashwin at that point. Ashwin used to start for India quite a bit. And unless they thought it was a very seam-friendly surface like Johannesburg or Perth, they would usually just go with Ashwin. Or when, you know, Ashwin had injury issues as well at times, then they got Jadeja back in. And I think after, you know, I think, as I mentioned, that 2020 series, from that point onwards, he really becomes a regular. I think there is never any real discourse about Jadeja's place in the 11, because you know that, yes, he is going to bat in the top. He can bat in the top 7 and he will be your fifth bowler. Although, of course, on these wickets, maybe you could say, you know, he's probably a better sixth bowler, because we saw that Washington Sundar was more effective than him at times. But just having a player like him, I think, in the top 7, and especially in his career best batting form, it's just, it was very, very important. Like, it was a big reason why India were even able to draw this series, you know. I think if not for Jadeja, I think things could have been a lot different.
No, definitely. And look, his bowling is, I think, outside of Asia is, I don't want to say that there is a limit on his bowling, because he's a great bowler. But I think his bowling outside of Asia in the first innings, my guess is that it probably doesn't have the same impact that it does in the second innings. And so you get a holding bowler, and then occasionally when the wicket turns for you, you get something else, right? But what you do get is the world's best number 7, who can also bat as high as number 5. You get a brilliant outfielder. Like, there's so much that is special about him that even when he, I think some people get really, maybe this is the wrong way of putting it, but some people get a little bit iffy when it's just like, you go, well, he might be the most important player in the world, or the whatever, like, most valuable player in the
MVP,
world.
MVP, yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes down to it, he has so many different roles that he can play within a side that it's ridiculous, right? It really is. He's a ridiculous player. And so I'm not too worried about the fact that he came to England and didn't do anything. We thought the wickets would be dry, and they were. But they didn't really spin all that much, and they didn't do all that much. But he still didn't go for, like a ton of runs, right? Like, he didn't suddenly come to a point. Yeah. And if you think about it from that perspective, one of the things you have to do against England at the moment is not go for runs. And I think the only time they really got a hold of him is probably the fourth innings at Leeds, I think, was one.
Yeah.
And then they went after him a little bit at Birmingham. But you're talking about 4 runs and over.
Yeah.
The only time he went it over 4 runs and over was this. Well, how many overs? I'm just looking up now. He bowled like 6 overs in the last game, right? That was the only time. And that wicket just wasn't for spinners at all. It just didn't give anyone anything, right? Like, you know, England. Bethel bowled 3 overs or something as well. Like, no one was worried. I suppose Root bowled a little bit more. for a little period there. But there wasn't a lot there. But you look at that and you're like, well, okay, if the worst he can do is slow down Bazball, he's still a really, really effective bowler. And you go through it by innings, and I brought this up while we were chatting, and I've obviously now completely lost it. Oh, here we go. You go at it by innings, and he hasn't really had like great performances in overseas test matches as a bowler all the way through by innings.
Yeah.
But he's a good holding bowler from towards the end of the game. So in the last innings, his economy in away test matches is 2.86. That is just, in this modern era, that is such an important thing where it's just like, well, you can't score off Jadeja, right? And sometimes, especially in England, you get this. You get it sometimes in New Zealand as well. You can actually control the game a little bit by just bringing on someone like Jadeja or Vettori to not go for any runs, because that means you can rotate your quick bowlers at the other end. So
exactly,
the flexibility he gives you, Washington Sundar is probably a better bowler now in overseas conditions than Jadeja. But Jadeja gives them such flexibility and that sort of lockdown ability with, as we said, he's been one of their best overseas batters for a long period of time now.
Exactly. And, you know, you keep talking about, you know, what he can do in the fourth innings and especially in the back end of the game. I always think of that Oval Test of 2021, where India did not look like they were going to take any wickets on day four. Finally, on day five, Shardul breaks through. But, you know, a really, really, and Bumrah obviously bowled a great spell. He bowled that brilliant reverse swinging spell. And everybody was just like, you know, raving about Bumrah and how brilliantly bowled. I think it was probably the best I saw. It was my favorite spell of Bumrah, I think, even now, that and the T20 World Cup final. All of that was there. But Jadeja in that game, in that innings, he bowled 30 overs. He went for 50 runs and he took 2 wickets. Like, imagine getting that from your spinner in England in the fourth innings when you're defending a big target on a flat wicket, mind you. It was not like it. That was the sort of surface which actually got easier to bat on, I remember. Because for some reason, everybody was scoring a lot of runs. Rohit got his first overseas turn when India were a bit behind in the game. And batting just got a bit, like, progressively easier because day one was a bit tricky. But by day five, and a lot of people were constantly asking questions about Ashwin. Where is Ashwin? And you could argue maybe he should have been in the team for another seamer and all those sorts of all that discussion was fine. But when I think it was Kohli who said that Jadeja is pretty handy against the left-handers, and people just lost it. They were like, what is this guy talking about? He has one of the greatest bowlers ever against left-handers, and he's talking about Jadeja. Is he serious? But we saw what Jadeja could do in the fourth innings in that very game. I think Moeen Ali, I think, found it really difficult to play Jadeja, if I'm not wrong. I think he also gets David Malan. So, but he was ultimately effective against the left-handers in that match.
He was. And, you know, there was another one as well I was just thinking about while you were talking, which is the test in Birmingham here, where he bowls brilliantly. What's he bowl? 15 overs, 4 maidens, 1 for 40 he goes for. When England is chasing, 600 or whatever. And it's like, again, he didn't take the wickets. Go back and watch that and tell me who their best bowler is, right? He is phenomenal in that innings, right? Yeah. And Stokes specifically just had no answers to him. He didn't know what to do. And I think that's what I'm talking about of you don't want to be too focused on just, you know, I mean, if you look at the difference between left-arm finger spinners in Asia and outside of Asia, right? It is the ability. Look at the guys who are successful. You know, guys like Vettori, guys like Paul Harris, guys like Ashley Giles. Yeah. Like Keshav Maharaj is probably sort of in the middle, but some of those other guys are quite often defensive bowlers. Like Maharaj is a bit more attacking, you know. But some of those guys are just there to be defensive bowlers, right? And just to hold up an end so that the seamers can be done. The fact that Jadeja has that gear is still really important. It's not as sexy. It's nothing about his bowling was ever as sexy as Ashwin's, right? Mm. But there are so many different uses for what he does, and he can come in handy. And I know why Indian fans would get frustrated sometimes when he'd just be on a flat wicket and he'd just be coming in and just angling it in and not trying as much. But that efficiency of his action and everything else meant that if the wicket did anything slightly, it didn't have to spin massively. It just had to hold up. You can't score off him. You might not go out to him, but you can't score off him. And, you know, it's why he's such a, you know, ridiculously good player in so many different situations.
Yeah, I think This was a pretty good segment on, you know, how his bowling also really has an impact in these overseas test matches, although not as much as his batting, and where it all really starts and comes together for him on the road. So I think we can take another short break. We'll be away for about half a minute and then we'll come back. And I think we'll do a bit of a throwback, you know, we'll go back in time and to 2014 and we'll ask Jared about what his first impressions of Jadeja the cricketer were when he landed on the shores of England back then. So guys, let's take a short break here.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Hello and welcome back, guys. We're talking about Jadeja's test batting on the road and what sort of an impact that has had for Indian test cricket. But before all of that, I think we have to talk about the start of Jadeja's career, really. And you know, when he first came onto the scene, a lot of the talk was about how he's this really talented player. He made 3 triple hundreds, and I keep repeating that stat because it is just a stat like that that you can't forget it, right? But I think in his early days, he was probably a better bowler, I would say. His bowling actually at home, I think it was good ever since he just started taking wickets at home, man. Like, that's the easiest way to put it. That was never really much of a concern for him, and especially I think against Australia at home is one series where, you know, you always see the best of Jadeja at home versus Australia in particular. I think maybe because they have left-handers we know that he's good against the right-handers as well. Just a brilliant bowler at home. But this was about his batting. And when he first, you know, when India went overseas, they were in a bit of a transition back then, in that 2013 to 2015 period, you know, and they first went to South Africa, they went to New Zealand, then they went to England. I think Jared must have covered that 2014 series of when India and England were playing, and that Lord's Test was the most famous example, I would say, where, you know, that was a very rare win for India back in those days. I think as Indian fans back then would know, like, wins didn't come by very easily, and we were often, you know, most of us just remember the Test match for what Ishan Sharma did, Ajinkya Rahane's 100, Murali Vijay got runs. We all remember those things mostly, right? But there was another underrated sort of an innings, because I say it is underrated because even I didn't really remember it the same way. So Jadeja makes 68 of 57 balls in the third innings when India were like 179 for 6 effectively. So Jared, do you remember anything about that innings? Or if you don't, like, what were your impressions of Jadeja back then?
Who was the batter at the other end?
That, I might have to go back and have a look. I don't remember. He batted with?
I'm trying to remember. I know that I wrote about Rahane in that test match.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of who made runs in the second inning. Look, I think at that point,
he made runs with Vijay. Yeah. Vijay made runs.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember being more fixated on Vijay, but when he made that innings, there was a couple of innings, if you look at early on in his career, where he would kind of explode.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because he wasn't a good white ball player at that stage.
Yeah.
But I reckon there's one at Ranchi as well, where he makes a bunch of runs at Ranchi.
2017?
Yeah, 2016, 17, that series, yeah. Whatever that one was. Where, yeah. I think, again, he smashed the ball everywhere. And I remember thinking at that point, I was like, well, this is not sustainable. Like, if they want him to be an all-rounder, this is not how he's going to have to bat. And I don't know if I ever wrote anything on Full Cricket Info on it, but I remember talking about it heaps and, you know, mentioning it in videos and things like that, of like, this man has to work out exactly what it is, how he's going to make runs. And so it's fascinating to go from the player who can make these 60 or 50 ball type innings to being the bloke who literally just dribbles the ball along the ground over and over again to backward square leg, right? Like, it's so fascinating to see that transition. But yeah, that was my theory of, I thought the problem with his bowling, which hasn't really ever changed, was that Ashwin is a proper old school spinner in that he has all these different tools available to him. And Jadeja was probably a proper new tool spinner in that he was basically bowling for DRS over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And if there's no inconsistency off the surface for him, it, you know, he can hold runs, but he can't really do anything else. And so I was like, if he's that didactic with his bowling, he has to find a method like that with his batting. That was my thought back then. I still thought he could be a better player than he was. I think I probably believed in him a lot more. I mean, I attacked him as much as Sanjay Mandrake did. It's just that I think Sanjay used the word bits and pieces. But the reason that I think both of us were saying that is because we knew how good he could be, right? We knew what he it's what I remember early on is how early he picked up the ball for a non-specialist batter, right? Mm. If you look at someone like Chris Wokes, if you look at Chris Wokes' batting, he's got a really nice technique and he lines up very well. But I wouldn't say that Chris Wokes picks up the ball particularly early, right? He picks it up nice enough to be able to make his runs. And if you compare that with someone like Lance Klusner, right, who when they came in, they were probably similar type players, right? You know, seam bowlers who can bat a little bit, right? Yeah. Lance Klusner clearly picks the ball up massively early. Like, you only need to look at a couple of clips of him and you'll be able to pick that fact up about him really, really. And you could see that with Jadeja. So the frustration was, what is he going to be? But the other thing was, for people like me, he was keeping Ashwin out of the side at times when he wasn't actually a better cricketer than Ashwin. And I still think the issue was that perhaps looking back, they didn't trust Jadeja enough. And as you said, one was batting at 6 and one was batting at 8, and it wasn't the order that you would expect.
Yeah.
But maybe they couldn't trust Jadeja. And so they ended up playing Jadeja when he wasn't ready, when they had a world-class spinner who they weren't using, who could bat. And so there was this frustration about him at that point. But I did just think he just needed to find a way through. I didn't think his batting isn't that much different than Dan Vittori's in some ways now, right? Yeah. And I never thought that's how Jadeja would end up. I would have thought that Jadeja would have ended up more in that sort of, with a Chris Wokes style technique, a little bit more, you Philander know, classically. Maybe? Well, I mean, Philander's more that sort of, I don't know, maybe like a good Philander, right? Mm-hmm. Like Paul Rifle is another one who did it for a little while. Alan Davidson, I'm trying to think of some others, you know, was a Makram. Yeah, I mean, Ashwin became that because his eyes and his back went, didn't he? Yeah. I don't know if he went that.
Whereas, he was a good batter for quite a point.
Yeah, whereas I think those other guys are just natural hitters of the ball. And I would have thought that maybe like a Kapil Dev without the power. That's probably what I was thinking for Jadeja. And he actually ended up in this very other way, this other style of doing it. But I always thought that a transformation or a learning of how to make runs was due for him because he just was obviously really, really talented. Like, I never really believed 100% the Ashwin hype that Ashwin was an all-rounder, right? And it's because of the things we were just talking about before. He doesn't seem to pick the ball up that early, right? He's a very clever player. He's got a very good technique to score runs with. But I never looked at him and like, one day he could bat at number 6 for this side. Whereas it was quite clear with Jadeja, he could have been a number 6 for a long period of time. Like, there was nothing within his technique that suggested he couldn't have done that. He just didn't make runs consistently, right? And so that was the thing. So there was always these frustrations and the bits and pieces and all that sort of stuff that was aimed at him. And some of it is unfair just because he's being compared to this other guy who was out batting him and was a better bowler, but they were still going with Jadeja.
Yeah, no, I think I completely get that. And India even experimented with Stuart Binney back in the day, and I think that didn't go particularly well.
I mean, isn't it? What year did Stuart Binney play? I know I covered
that 2014 series. He does play, I think, a few games in that series. Might have even played in Australia. I'll go and Australia. He's played 6 tests. Yes.
Can you imagine having Ashwin and Jadeja and thinking to yourself, what we need is more Binney. Let's get some Binney in here. Like, it's a... We couldn't believe it at the time. And I remember, you know, I was doing polite inquiries back. Was it polite inquiries? 2014. Yeah, it would have been polite inquiries. And we would like get questions. And people were like, why do you hate Stuart? And it's like, we don't hate Stuart Binney. We just don't really understand what they think they're going to get out of Stuart Binney. He's just not a test player, right? Stuart Binney was a fantastic first-class player, is my guess. My guess is, and I'm going to look it up now while we talk.
Yeah.
My guess is in first-class cricket, he probably averages more than 30 with the bat, and he averages probably less than 28 with the ball. Am I right? 26 maybe?
No, with the ball, he's at around 32, but he averages 34 with the bat and strikes at 69.
So he averages more with the bat than I thought and more with the ball than I thought. So I was in the right ballpark of the kind of cricketer he was, but not quite at the level that I thought. So think about that. I'm assuming he bats at 6 or 7 in first-class cricket, right? If 6 or 7 in first-class cricket is like 8 or 9 in Test cricket for the quality of the bowlers that you face and how you do it, right? So if he averages 34, the best you're going to get out of him as a test batter is probably going to be 25, right? He's no longer an all-rounder if he averages 25. And if you average 32 with the ball in first-class cricket, I'm going to assume you're going to average 36 with the bat. 35, right? 36. This is not an attack on Stuart Binney. It's a look at the kind of player he is and what do you think you're going to get out of him, right?
Yeah.
Whereas on the other side, you have this incredible, you know, incredible talent in someone like Jadeja and this incredible talent in someone like Ashwin.
Yeah.
And so we just didn't understand. But a lot of that was weirdly, of all the people, and I don't know if anyone believed in Jadeja more than Dhoni did, but Dhoni was just obsessed with fast bowling all-rounders, right? And it's like, that's not, even if you go back on it, I would have thought that if you went at, if you had Dhoni at six, and you had Jadeja at 7 and you had Ashwin at 8. Is that not enough batting from 6, 7 and 8? And then you just pick your three seamers? Right.
Yeah, you take that batting.
And then you take three seamers in. Occasionally you're going to have to overbowl the three seamers. That's cricket. Sometimes that happens, right?
Mm.
That's the way I would have done the side. But, you know, so there was always like a frustration. I think there was a frustration he wasn't ready earlier. There was a frustration, you know, that he was. The things that he's great about now were some of the things that people moaned about, right? Which is the one-dimensional type of player he was. Those are some of the things that actually went on to prove, to give him a sense of greatness. So I just think that's how we kind of thought about him at the time. He was this frustration that we were waiting for. And I don't think, you know, I would have been, 7 years into my career, right? So, you know, a few more years experience than you have now. But we weren't talking about cricket properly back then because we didn't know how to. We were still learning it we're still learning modern cricket media language that hopefully that we try and do in good areas now. And I hadn't done enough history to be like, wait a minute. Because in my mind, I'm told Garfield Sobers is great. So I'm like, well, he must have always been great. It's not until you look at his record and you're like, he was weird player when he started his career and he didn't start bowling seam until like 10 years in, right? You don't know any of that, right? And I hadn't even remembered that callus took a long time to develop. So it's really through players like Vittori that even, start to learn. Yeah, that I start to learn about these things.
Vittori makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because I remember fighting with people going, what are you guys talking about? Daniel Vittori is not an all-rounder. He's like a handy batter. But by the end of his career, he was probably a number six, right? Not a specialist batting number six. You'd never want to pick Daniel Vittori for that. But by the end of his career, he was really good with the bat. And then, so you start to learn and you talk to coaches and you understand all that sort of stuff. But in 2014, I was probably like, what's going on with Jadeja? Why is he getting in the way of this other player and everything else?
No, I can completely understand that. And you know, the funniest thing that whenever I was just diving into these stats, and I didn't have a lot of actual memories of this thing somehow, because I did follow India test matches back then, but maybe my memory wasn't as clear for Jadeja in particular. But shockingly, he got out a lot to spin. I was like, bro, what am I seeing? How did Jadeja get out to spinners 5 times out of 13 innings?
I think that's another thing that you need to remember as well is that we've seen this a lot. How many times do you see Indian players play spin really well in India and they come to Australia and they go out to spin, right?
That happens sometimes.
It's a different format, right? And you see it with Australian batters who play fast bowling really well and they go to Asia and they struggle with fast bowling. It's a different format of that. And we as cricket writers have to kind of factor that in. And it's not the case for everyone. Some people are great, but I don't think of Jadeja as a great player of spin. I think he's a very good player of not being dismissed by spin.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a great player of spin in the way that Ashwin, I think Ashwin was a beautiful player of spin, right? Like I thought Ashwin really, the way he thought about spin, Ashwin's problem was he probably wanted to dominate them a little bit because he had that old spinner's mentality of like, I'm going to let them know. But I think Ashwin was a much more natural player of spin. Whereas I think Jadeja's big thing is spin shouldn't get me out. And maybe that caused an issue when he was trying to be more attacking when he was younger.
But, you know, the funniest thing is that he was getting out on the defensive shots most of the time. Like, I think there were three anecdotes. Moin Ali was getting him out on the defensive shot. Like, he was either edging the ball or he was, like, getting out, basically playing a defensive shot, not even attacking the ball. I think only one instance was where he tries to attack and everybody's like, why Jadeja? Why did he just attack now? So that was like probably the only outlier instance. And if you see him bat against spin, he has that technique, right? Where he's batting with the bat and pad together. And in a sense, it's a bit of an old school way of playing spin, I would say. Not totally aligned with the DRS method of playing spin?
Yeah, that might be part of it. Yeah, that's a good pickup. The other thing I was going to say is that there's probably more bounce outside of Asia.
Yeah.
Right? And so that if you're a player who plays with soft hands, you probably don't want the extra bounce. You want the lower, slower wickets that everyone else hates, right? Yeah. So maybe it just took him a while to come up with a method that worked for him.
Agreed. And finally, like when we talk about that Jadeja's dominance overseas, I think the real key difference was that he basically became invincible against spin, right? Like spinners couldn't get him out. Like you could count them on your finger. On your fingers, man. Like 4 or 5 times he got out to spin in that whole 7-year period. And before that, when he was just starting out, he got out 5 times to spin. So you can just see the difference. He's been averaging nearly 100 against spin. Some of that is the pitches and everything. Of course, I think because what has happened is this series has been more batting friendly in general. But before that, yeah, most of the series have been so seam friendly. Teams have made such extreme wickets against India, I think, that spinners just go out of the equation in a sense at times. And maybe what happens is that Jadeja's like fine to play against those sort of spinners. But one thing must not be mistaken, that Jadeja hasn't made soft runs. These are very crucial, important clutch runs, as you may call it. These are very important runs, and I've seen them live with my own eyes, and he just keeps doing it over and over again. And you like to have a player of that sort who keeps you in the game constantly, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think when we, you know, if they're easy, everyone will make runs in the middle, right? And everyone else isn't making the kind of runs he makes. So when we say he's king of the soft ball, we don't want it to be like he's king of batting when it's easier. It is easier, but he is still much better than other specialist batters are at that time, right? In the same, you know, in the same way of like if he was a new ball bowler and he was doing really much better than all the, like Blessing Muzurumbani was when he was taking a wicket every 8 deliveries, or well, that's what it felt like with the new ball. It's like, yeah, it is the time when he should be taking wickets, but he's still taking them at a rate that no one else is taking. And as you said, they're, you know, because they're batting through Virat's loss of form and Rahane's loss of form, and even Pujara dipping a little bit, right? Quite a lot of these times he has to make runs, and he makes runs. Like, that's all you can ask of a person, especially if they are a little bit more limited. Literally, he's doing what he needs to do when they need him to do it.
Exactly. And I think even sometimes on, you know, those tougher wickets, he's just able to find a way. I remember that Gabba test from last year where he got 70-odd and India just about managed to, you know, avoid the follow-on, and they were celebrating after avoiding the follow-on. A lot of, like, that was also a bit of a fun period. But I think that that was the tail ender scoring a lot of runs towards, a few runs towards the end. But that innings was set up by Jadeja and KL Rahul, if I remember correctly. And India were in a lot of trouble, and it was not easy to bat even against the older ball, and especially on these wickets in Australia. So he played one good innings there as well. He averaged, I think, 27 in Australia, but you'll take that, man. Like, from your number 7,
it's probably not his series either, right? Because those balls didn't go soft.
Exactly.
Right? So one of his skills has already disappeared, and it wasn't an old ball series. Whereas this one in England is an old ball series. You expect him to make runs in this series, and less so in the ones where it's a bit shorter. So, you know, not throwing shade. You know, he does almost exactly what you expect him to do.
Yeah.
Right? Which, again, if you're picking a team, is really handy.
Exactly. Like, those are the sort of players you want to have. I think even when we were doing the draft for, you know, the greatest test players of all time, so we were all making up 15. So I think I picked Jadeja as my spin bowling all-rounder. So he was not in my main 11, but like, if you say you have Keith Miller or Ian Botham as your all-rounder, as your seam bowling all-rounder, when you go to Asia, who do you pick? You pick Jadeja. Simple as that. Like, just, he can bat at number 6 and number 7, and he can give you, like, all-time great numbers with the ball. As good as it gets.
No, I mean, he's a remarkable player, and you know, you and I have covered him quite a lot, like on good areas. I just find him fascinating, and I don't know a lot about him personally, which is a delight for me, because I don't really want to know that much about players personally, and I just feel that, like, it'd be really interesting to see what he retires. But he's probably going to be at the moment close to in the top 10 or 15 most words I've ever written about a player. And, you know, we might have another project shortly where he factors in again. Like, he just keeps coming back and back. And I do think that he's a really, really interesting player, and on so many different levels, and what he's managed to do.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think you talk about how much we've written about him in good areas. I think when I first came in 2023, I was still a student. But I this was one of the first topics that I think I really logged in and did. So I did two pieces. One was whether he is the most valuable player in the world. And one was whether he's the most valuable player in Asia of all time. And I think he has very strong cases for both even now. He might have actually strengthened his cases even now. You know, and
In this transition period. I think the first piece that went truly viral on Good Areas, on the videos, not on the articles. Mm-hmm. We'd had a couple of viral articles. But I reckon the first piece is about Jadeja. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically, it was before that 2021 series that that India won, the Australia one.
Yeah.
We wrote a piece and like, you know, I felt like that was the moment when people all started working it out at the same time. And like, I think the reason it went viral is so many people have been saying to their friends, see, we told you, like, he's, you know, and it's a slow burn. When does he make his debut? 2012, 2011? Yeah. No, 2012, isn't it? Yeah, I remember that because you wrote it. I wouldn't have even remembered that. I didn't cover that test match though, but I do remember watching quite a bit of that test match. But yeah, I think I remember him as a IPL player, right? Like coming in because he did a bit of slogging. He could obviously field really well. He was a very, very good bowler.
On Chepauk, he was unplayable.
Yeah. And then he got suspended. Yeah. Yeah. He got suspended. You know, in the open. So I felt like he's one of the first players outside of like Australia and county cricket, because I lived in those two places, where you kind of saw him coming from a distance, and you're looking at this guy going, wow, like the incredible talent. Do you remember how much Shane Warne would talk him up? Like Shane Warne was like, you guys have, and it's actually a bit of a shame that Shane Warne has probably passed on and didn't get to see, you know, the player that Jadeja has become. But you know, it really is such a high level talent in so many different ways. And it's funny because I'm not sure if you had peak Stokes and peak Jadeja, you probably still pick Stokes, don't you?
I think it depends on the combination as well and where they are playing.
I don't know if it does, because if you forget where the pitches are, you don't know where the next game is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think you probably pick Stokes because he gives you more, because he can bat five and six, and he can be a frontline seamer, which allows you to bring an extra spinner in anyway, right?
Correct, yeah.
And you might say that as good as Jadeja is, it's more of a method, whereas Stokes can actually destroy you with the bat, whereas both of them can destroy you with the ball. Hmm. So I think you could make the argument that you would still go with Stokes. But if you're looking at it over a 10 or 15 year period, like Stokes doesn't even compare to Jadeja, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you then put him up with
Well, you then put him up with Sobers and Callis and Imran and those sorts of guys. I think you'd have to argue he's a better all-rounder than Kapil Dev at this stage. And Kapil Dev was incredible, right? But incredible. I don't think you could argue that Kapil Dev's a better player than Jadeja. Jadeja's batting gives you more flexibility. So even if you think Kapil Dev's a better player, because Jadeja can bat anywhere from 5 to 8, he gives you so much more flexibility than Kapil Dev does, doesn't he? So I just think, and he probably is going to bowl more overs. You'd have to check that out. But I would assume in their career, Kapil Dev would have probably not bowled quite as many overs as Jadeja per game, which is another thing. When we're talking about spin all-rounders, that you have to factor in.
That's the thing. But because Kapil Dev also had to do a lot of those carry jobs because India were not that great a team back then. And he actually bowls a lot in India as well, I think. So I'm not so sure about that usage bit. We might have to look that up later on. But a very valid point. I think Jadeja might just have eclipsed Kapil Dev as a test cricketer for India. Or at least he's around that conversation for me. And when you talk about the Stokes comparison, I would say that on a given day, yes, I think I agree with you that maybe Stokes on a given day can do more damage in a test match than Jadeja could possibly. But if we're talking peaks, like say 2 years, 3 years, 4 years peaks, I think it's still not a question for me. It's still easily Jadeja is the better test player for me, especially because of how great he is at home. And now we've discovered how good he is away from home as well, right? And I think one thing that goes against Jadeja really is that he wasn't always an automatic pick in the team. That is, I think, something
he's only played 85 tests. It's crazy, isn't it? He's only played 85 tests. I don't think I'll ever get over that. It seems so bizarre to me. Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change,
He still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like all the players of his time, like around all the players who played around him, Virat, Ashwin, Pujara, these guys all crossed 100 test matches. And Jadeja is still playing, right? He debuted a little later, like a year later or so. But still, you know, Jadeja hasn't yet gotten to the 100 test matches mark. And maybe he does. Him getting there, maybe powering through this cycle for India, that would be a really pivotal thing, I think, if they can really manage to squeeze out those last couple of years from him. Maybe, you know, one more push for the final. Maybe he can go on a high. And I personally believe that, you know, of this generation, from the players that I have seen a lot of, I think he's the best cricketer in test matches out of them. Like, obviously, we have to talk about, you know, Jadeja is there. Ashwin is there. Bumrah is there. Kohli is there. These guys are also absolutely great players. But I think, simply for the value that he brings, you have to rate Jadeja very highly. Only one thing that I mentioned, that his availability early on was a bit of a concern for me in these debates. But other than that, no questions against him.
You mean injuries?
Yeah, because, you know, he misses a lot of those tests, right? When we did that piece as well. So he plays that England series, but then for a long period of time, he's not really looked at as a major option. And he has those injuries as well, you're right. Even at his peak, yeah. I think he has missed test matches. In the 2020s, he hasn't played in South Africa at times. He missed that England series of 2021, you know, at home.
It's interesting, when isn't it? It feels like Stokes is the one who's more fit, right? But Stokes is always injured. Like, when is Stokes not carrying an injury, right? And yet, Jadeja, who's not even the fast bowler, seems to be injured almost as much. I looked it up. I think Kapil Dev's at about 35 overs per game and Jadeja's at 37. I just think he's beaten him as an all-rounder now. And I rate Kapil Dev very high. But it's not that I think he's that much better than him as a cricketer, because I think as a cricketer, they're very close. But the flexibility that Jadeja gives you, because of what he can do, I just think he's completely off the charts. And because he's become such a good batter, you can't compare him to someone like Kapil Dev, who is, like, everyone always said, oh, Kapil Dev would have been a better batter if he wasn't an all-rounder. It's like, well, now we've seen that Jadeja had the ability to make that even more so, right? Like, he's had more of an impact with the bat. So it's hard to look at Kapil Dev and go, well, you know, but Kapil Dev, very decent number. A very good number seven, right?
Yeah.
Agreed. But if you bat him at number six,
brilliant.
If you bat him at six, you're pushing it then, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You really are pushing it.
Yeah.
No one would even blink an eye if Jadeja batted at six, right?
Yeah, like, you
it's a very normal thing for him to do. So, you know, and it shows you, we're not talking about average players here. We are comparing him with some of the greatest all-rounders of all time. And I just think he's absolutely phenomenal as a player. And because of the way that Indian cricket works now, and the sort of Ashwin thing coming around at the same time, and Virat and Bumrah and Rohit and all that sort of stuff, I wonder if he hasn't always got the plaudits for what he is. But he's maybe one of the most all-round limited players of all time. And that doesn't make any sense, that sentence, but that's kind of where he is now.
But it is the truth. Yeah. And yet he is such a great player. Like, his numbers are just insane, man. Do you think he might be able to, you know, get that batting average up to 40 maybe, and his bowling average under 25? I think let's end on that note, really. Do you think he can do that?
I think no.
Yeah, bit of a stretch.
But the thing that might help him is Washington. Because if he shows any weaknesses, they're just going to switch to Washington based on current form, right? Like, if Washington keeps playing the way he is, well, he can bat anywhere from 5 to 7 as well. And he's a frontline spinner. So that means that if Jadeja shows any weakness, they could just flick him like they did with Ashwin. Whereas if Washington dips back, Jadeja around until he's finished. So, you know, if you look, this is my memory of Dan Vettori, but I think the last couple of years of Dan Vettori's career, he stops making any runs and maybe doesn't take as many wickets, but he stops taking runs.
He even retires, I think, from Test. Then he's RCB's coach. He's playing the 2015 World Cup. Very weird last few years for him, I think.
So, but the reason that he kept playing is because there's no one to replace him with, right? I mean, he became this irreplaceable player within that.
When does Santner come around for the limited overs team? 16-17 maybe.
I would have thought 16-17 off the top of my head. And so, but even Santner, you can't play him in test matches, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Santner can't bat. Different. I mean, I could be wrong, but my memory is that Vettori was a 6 or a 7 by the end of his test career, right? You can't bat Santner there, right? That's very different with Jadeja, where there is a natural replacement available. And we haven't even talked about Akshar, who's also a natural replacement, right? So there is an element of he might just retire. And if he retires, then he could go out on top. And so maybe his numbers are where you want them to be. But there's also the fact that if he does have any sort of form dip for a little while, like Ashwin basically had the smallest form dip we've ever seen and he was gone, right? Which is, that's like the old Australian thing of this, like, you had your chance and we've moved on, right?
Man, and so when you first suggested me that piece, I was like, what is he talking about, man? Ashwin Jadeja and the decline, like, it's just one bad series. What is Jared talking about? But I think I could see it. Like, eventually, India moved on from him. You were ahead of the curve in that sense. And maybe it's Jadeja's batting that's, you know, really saved it for him in a sense. Exactly.
It was funny. Someone said to me the other day, is Jadeja's bowling as good as it used to be? And it's weird because we haven't seen him bowl in Asia for a while, right? But the last time we saw him bowl, obviously, Santner and Ajaz Patel out-bowled him, right? But so we have to almost forget that one because that could have been a blip anyway. Yeah. But he's not looking as sharp's a good word. I was going to say incisive, but those are two good words, right?
Yeah.
But neither is Nathan Lyon. And I wonder just how much it is that either they're old or whether it's just that everything is so aimed at seam bowling outside of Asia at the moment that they're actually bowling fine, but we just haven't seen them on wickets that are helping them, right? And so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. I think that the amount of he shouldn't be able to keep bowling as sharp as he did when he was younger because
he's on 36, 37 now.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to bowl that quick with that many revs on the ball for a long period of time. You just shouldn't be able to do that. And that's maybe part of the reason he has got injured so much at different times is he's already doing something that's quite unnatural, right? So I don't know. I think it's a fascinating one looking ahead. I wouldn't bet against him because he's such a great athlete. And, you know, as long as you keep your body good, you look at Sobers and you look at Imran and you look at Vettori, they did actually play quite late in their careers, you know, and Kapil Dev as well. Kapil Dev, there's all this thing about 90s. Kapil Dev limping on. And I was just like, guys, he was actually still a really important player up until the last couple of tests. He didn't limp on. And, you know, Botham's the big difference there, but Botham doesn't keep his body, right? So if you're a great all-rounder, you have the ability to keep your body, even as your athleticism fades, you're still going to be a better athlete than a lot of other people. Jadeja should be in that camp.
Agreed completely. And I think, you know, of course, with seam bowlers, it's a bit of a different dynamic. But if we're talking about the best spin bowling all-rounders ever, I think it has to be Jadeja now, right? Or you could throw in Aubrey Faulkner maybe, if we go a bit like old school, but maybe of the last 100 years or so, it probably has to be Jadeja, right?
Who's the third best?
How would you rate Richie Beno? But he was not that great a batter, no. Like, he was more Ashwin. I think his batting was
so Richie Ashwin. Richie Beno becomes a really good player late in his career. Sorry to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but he does become a much better player later in his career. I think. I mean, I would have Shakib ahead of Richie Beno, though. I would have thought.
Oh yeah, Shakib, of course. Yeah.
I think you can make an argument that Shakib is still in that conversation.
Yeah, but we can for sure.
He would average about the same with the bat, right?
Yeah, and he's done it on a weaker side, mind you.
Yeah, and probably had the bat. Me and Kartikeya had this conversation once about Shakib where we're like, his numbers are a little bit flattering, but they're also a little bit unflattering at times. Yeah. And they're a little bit flattering in the fact that he's probably a number 6 or a number 7.
Yeah.
But what, he's batted at number 4 on that side? You know, that because they don't have a choice at times. They just have to use him up the order because they haven't had that much talent. Yeah, he hasn't batted at number 4 that much. But even at number 5, I would say it would have been interesting to see if he would have batted at number 6 all the way.
I'll actually have a look right now.
Well, his numbers suggest he's better at number 5, by the way. But I doubt those a little bit.
45 at 5.
But the point being is he's not a test number 5, right? Like on talent. He's probably a number 6, number 7.
Might be he played there at his peak or at home. Could be a lot of different factors.
And if you look at his bowling as well, his bowling is, he averages what, 30?
30, 31.
It's 30, is it? Yeah.
It must be 30, 31, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 31. You're right. Yeah, I thought it was 32, but he might have just dipped it a little bit again. But he's also bowled quite a lot of deliveries at times when they didn't have a choice, but no one else, there was no one else in the team to bowl him, especially when it was overseas and they didn't have many good seamers, right? Yeah. So he, again, it's not that he's bowled. It's not that he's bowled a massive amount of overs, because I just had a look. It's almost exactly the same amount of overs that Jadeja has bowled. But the difference is when he has bowled, he's probably not as good a bowler as Jadeja.
Yeah, and he's, no doubt.
And he's not as good a defensive bowler as Jadeja specifically.
Yeah.
And there's probably quite a few times when he has bowled when there's just no one else to bowl, right? Yeah. And there is no other option. And so I would say that he's a very good player, but he's not anywhere near the level of Jadeja, I would have thought, all the way through. But, yeah, again, a fascinating player. But, yeah, yeah. I don't think Aubrey Faulkner or Richie Benaud is better than Ravi Jadeja. I love Vinu Mankad, but I don't think I'd have Vinu Mankad.
Yeah, he's not better than Jadeja, I would say.
I don't think he's better. I saw a lot of Ravi Shastri bowl. Ravi Shastri was not better than Jadeja.
You know what? Ravi Shastri is bowling. If he bowls a full day of Test match cricket, the score would be 200 for 5. Like, that is the best way to put Ravi Shastri's bowling. So he is not at the level of Jadeja at all. But he was this really, you know, economical sort of a bowler. And I think I can't remember who picked him when we did the India all-time drafts, but he is nowhere near the level of Jadeja as an all-rounder. That I'm 100% certain about. But yeah.
He's
utility player in a different sense. He could open the batting, at times. So
you would have to put Vittori in that list as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and
for
I don't think anyone's picking Vittori over Jadeja, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My memory of Shastri, and I saw him play quite a bit, and remember the numbers, is that he was probably more of a very similar player to Vittori. I think Vittori was probably a slightly better bat. Shastri was probably about the same level as a bowler. But more part-time, whereas Vittori was the main spinner and everybody else.
Yeah, I would have thought Vittori was the better bowler.
Yeah. He probably is, I think, because he didn't bowl on the Asian wickets.
I
do think that there is definitely, and Aubrey Faulkner's hard to look at just because it's not that many games. And Aubrey Faulkner's career is so weird anyway. Like, he's a great bowler in England and a great batter in Australia. Like, it's hard to, because he doesn't play enough matches. We don't have the sample size to be able to, to understand how good he would have been. But Jadeja's on the list, right? Like, no one's arguing that.
Absolutely, man. So I think we can really end this podcast by saying that both of us are on the same page when it comes to saying that Ravindra Jadeja is the best spin bowling all-rounder of all time. And he has been definitely one of India's best test players. It depends on how you look at the game and everything. But you can't not have him in your top 3, top 4, man. Like, if you're an Indian fan in this generation, you can't have him lower than top 4, I think. Like, that is the maximum you can stretch it. You could argue that, okay, there are certain limitations in his game. He's not always been automatic. He's missed a few games. Like, we talk about Joe Root, right? And he never misses test matches. He's missed two test matches in his career.
You can argue there are more talented players. You can't really argue that there are four players who are of more value.
Exactly.
Right? I think that's what it comes down to. If you're just one of those people who's just like, well, Ashwin's better than him, it's like, we're not disagreeing that Ashwin's more talented than him, but Jadeja is more valuable.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, especially with all-rounders, what happens is when they are at their best, then you really see the best of them. And I think this 2018 onwards, 2016 even, I would say, this 10-year sort of period where Jadeja has been, I think, one of the best players in the world, where he's averaging around 40 with the bat and around 20 with the ball, right? Those are just insane numbers, flat out insane. And you're just removing the first few years of his career, mind you. So, which we often do for all-rounders, right? Like, we want to see when they are in their maturation period, how much better are they then? And we've clearly seen that with Jadeja, right? And I think, absolutely brilliant cricketer to cover. I think at this point, he is definitely also one more player that I've covered a lot. And we've been talking about him for more than 75 minutes. So it's been really fun, this brilliant conversation, I would say. And so, any closing thoughts on him just as we end this podcast?
No. I'm the next thing I'm most interested in is just how long it goes, right?
Yeah.
What did Ashwin say when he retired? A lot of the OGs are gone.
Yeah.
Jadeja is now one of the OGs. And I'll tell you what, mate,
OG,
he looked,
I would say,
he looked tired as hell in that Oval Test. He looked really, really tired. And there's a part of me going, is this it? Or was it just a long series? And that's the thing he has to make the decision
on. Had that save at the boundary, on day 5.
Yeah. He still looked tired with that save.
Yeah, I know. He did. But like absolutely brilliant stuff. So I think that ends it on Jadeja. And guys, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that page. That can be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team. And you can find all the written content. You can go to all the different podcasts that we do. It's like, if you just go out there and explore, you can find the Patreon page there as well. As we keep saying that it's those people at Patreon who support us and all the work that we do as part of this team. And so go out there and check it out. So see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.